Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
President Trump has nominated Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. What's the process now and the likelihood of his confirmation? Let's go in depth with Andrew Green, professor of political science at Central College. Professor Green, President Trump named his Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, Monday night. And this will air Thursday, and so we don't know everything that's transpired. But can you tell us a little bit about Judge Kavanaugh?
Judge Kavanaugh has been a part of what many would call the establishment Republican circle in Washington, D.C. for a couple of decades. He was a part of the Starr investigation in the 1990s. He worked in the Bush White House as a staff secretary. His wife worked in the Bush White House as well as a staff secretary during George W. Bush's administration. And he served in that capacity until he was nominated to the D.C. Court of Appeals in 2003, confirmed to the D.C. Court of Appeals in 2006, and has served as a judge for the last 12 years on the D.C. Court of Appeals in Washington.
And what do we know about his record?
He's a limited government, strict constructionist judge. And so he interprets and reads the Constitution based upon history and precedent and interprets statute in a similar way. And so he, on the ideological spectrum, he would be considered a conservative judge. In looking at some of the work that some political scientists have done on his vote history, many are placing him ideologically to the right of Chief Justice Roberts, but to the left of Clarence Thomas.
As a conservative, what do you think of the pick?
I think it's a pick that you would have seen from another Republican president. If Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio would have been elected president, won the nomination in 2016 and defeated Hillary Clinton in 2016. I think that this is a pick that you would have expected out of any establishment Republican president. And that shouldn't be surprising based upon what we know about the list that President Trump put together or had put together for him by the Federalist Society and by the Heritage Foundation during the 2016 campaign. The one thing that he promised to many establishment Republicans was a vote for him, was a vote for these types of judges to the appellate courts along with the Supreme Court.
Well, and that decision, to my mind anyway, helped solidify conservative votes for Trump and even some moderate votes for Trump. I thought it was, you know, a really sharp stroke on his part by presenting the list of nominees.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. For those conservatives, establishment Republican conservatives, and even moderate Republicans who are on the fence about the Access Hollywood tape, about many of the other personal infidelity issues that President Trump has had in his personal life, they were willing to look the other way. And for many of those folks, they may not have looked the other way for another Republican politician. But in that case, because the Supreme Court potentially hung in the balance and because he assured evangelical Christian conservatives along with other establishment Republicans that he would make those appointments from that particular list, I think you're absolutely right in that analysis.
Well, and it essentially gives him a pass because people, conservatives, are so happy with two Supreme Court justices that supersedes pretty much anything else, doesn't it, in their minds?
It's holding a lot of those folks in line, even with all of the issues that have come out of Washington with, you know, ranging from the strange relationship that President Trump has with Vladimir Putin all the way through the scandals that have come out of major cabinet departments with Secretary Zinke, Scott Pruitt at EPA, Secretary Price at HHS, you name it.
Trade wars,
yeah.
Relations with
soybean tariffs, yes.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Andrew Green, professor of political science at Central College, about the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Well, we understand and even appreciate the chess move that was. Democrats don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can understand it was a smart chess move, but they don't like that list. They don't like that this means essentially that all those candidates have been screened by somebody else, not the president, by conservative groups. And so they've passed, you know, probably a variety of litmus tests that Democrats aren't comfortable with.
Yeah, and this is going to be a really tough confirmation battle because the use of the filibuster was removed for Supreme Court appointments in 2016 when Neil Gorsuch was in front of the Senate. And so Democrats are if they want to stall this nomination out, they're going to have to win over at least one Republican, and the Democrats will have to vote party line on the nomination. Right now, because John McCain is still in Arizona, the Republicans essentially have a 50-49 majority in the Senate, which means that if one Republican were to defect, the nomination would be defeated. Right now, all eyes are on Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska and Senator Susan Collins from Maine, who appear to be two. If any Republicans were going to flip on the vote on the nomination, it would be those two. And so all eyes are on those two right now.
And aren't there three or four Democrats in red states that might flip too and vote for him?
That's true. You have Joe Manchin in West Virginia. You have Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota. You have Senator Donnelly in Indiana, all of which voted for Judge Gorsuch the last time around. Now, there are two differences in this between this this nomination and the Gorsuch nomination. For Democrats, they were replacing Antonin Scalia with Neil Gorsuch. Scalia was a right-leaning judge on the court, had been on the court for a long time. And so in terms of the ideological balance of the court, replacing Scalia with Gorsuch really didn't change the balance. This is a different story because Anthony Kennedy was seen as the swing vote on the Supreme Court. Brett Kavanaugh, while Anthony Kennedy is a conservative judge, he did have some opinions that did swing some really important cases on abortion rights and other cases. The departure of Kennedy from the court leaves Chief Justice Roberts as the swing voter on the court. Brett Kavanaugh, if confirmed, most believe will be a steady conservative vote on the court. And so for Democrats, because there will be implications for the ideological balance of the court, they may be more inclined to vote against this nomination, even though they're from red states. That said, they're up for re-election and they're facing tough re-election bids. And so they've got to balance that goal of re-election against maintaining their status within the Democrat Party.
Do you think that there's Republicans that would have perhaps voted for them that now would say, well, because they voted against Kavanaugh, I'm not going to vote for them? Is that a possibility?
That's the fear, because it would be seen as a vote against Trump. And so if you've got a Republican voter who is a supporter of Donald Trump in one of these states who was inclined potentially to vote for one of these moderate Democrats from these red states, that could lead to some electoral problems.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Andrew Green, professor of political science at Central College, about the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like this balance in the court is sort of a red herring in the sense that if Democrats were in control, they wouldn't be interested. They're interested in balance now, but they wouldn't be interested in balance then, would they?
You wouldn't assume so. And that was really the game that, or the risk that, I shouldn't say the game, that was the risk that Mitch McConnell was playing in 2016 when he stalled out the Merrick Garland nomination. Merrick Garland, according to most analyses, was a very centrist judge. If Hillary Clinton would have won the presidential election in 2016, you can bet that she would have been appointing judges that were further to the left than Merrick Garland to replace Antonin Scalia. And so, you know, I oftentimes tell my students at Central that members of Congress have partisan bipolarness. They don't remember what it's like to be in the minority when they're in the majority, and they forget what it's like to be in the majority when they're in the minority. And so the arguments that you see being made by Democrats now probably would be being made by Republicans if Hillary Clinton would have won the presidential election.
Now, and Democrats are still mad, and many people believe rightly so, for the stalling on Merrick Garland. They feel that seat was stolen. Mm-hmm. Is there any legitimacy to that?
To the stolen seat argument?
Yeah.
It was a risk that Mitch McConnell took. There's no doubt about it. It was a political calculation. He was banking that President Trump would win the presidential election. Because as I mentioned a few moments ago, Merrick Garland was seen as a very centrist nominee. And my guess is that Hillary Clinton, if elected president, would have nominated judges that were further to the left than Merrick Garland. From a professional perspective, I understand the game that Mitch McConnell was playing. I don't believe in the stolen seat argument. I understand the argument that they're making. But at the end of the day, Mitch McConnell was operating under a set of institutional rules that allowed him to do what he did.
Well, and
albeit a horrible precedent to set for the Senate, I'm willing to say that, because the next time that this were to happen, you can bet that precedent is going to be cited.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly, the Senate is, you know, long on rules and traditions, mm-hmm. but getting rid of the filibuster for that nomination, that was a big deal too. I mean, that's a game changer for generations, maybe forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because now it requires a simple majority vote to confirm that nominee. And so as long as the majority party can keep their members in line, they're going to be able to confirm any nominee for the president.
Now, it wasn't so long ago that, maybe you disagree, but in my mind, it wasn't so long ago that an appointee like Kavanaugh wouldn't have been controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I remembering what right? Was it Justice Alito, about this conservative or more so,
mm-hmm.
got 90 votes out of a 100-vote Senate? That wasn't that long ago.
Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the 1990s, when she was nominated by Bill Clinton, was confirmed by a 96-3 vote. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not a centrist member of the Supreme Court. She is considered to be on the left end of the spectrum of the justices on the Supreme Court. But yet she was confirmed by a 96-3 majority in that particular nomination battle. So if you go back to Justice Roberts in 2005, received 70-plus votes. And it was 13 years ago. I would expect that this confirmation, what you're going to see is, if no Republican defects, you will see those three or four swing state Democrats vote for the nominee. If there's the chance that a Republican like Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski, if there's a chance that one of those two senators or another Republican is going to defect, that is going to put an awful lot of pressure on those four swing state Democrats to vote with the Democrats against the nomination. And so my guess is that you're going to see a nomination that fails by a vote or two, or it's going to pass by three or four votes. That's my guess. And it's all going to come down to those two pivotal Republicans, because it makes no sense politically for one of those four swing state Democrats to vote no if the nominee is going to be confirmed anyway.
Wow. And so we're going to be watching to see who blinks first, the Republican two or the Democratic three or four, or are the Republicans going to give an indication first?
I would imagine that the back channel communication on the Hill has already started today. I would imagine that there are going to be an awful lot of conversations between the offices of those swing state Democrats and those a handful of Republicans that could defect potentially or would be most likely to defect. They're going to know on a back channel basis what the others are going to do going into that vote so that they can vote accordingly. This is now Mitch McConnell's responsibility. President Trump has fulfilled his role nominating and sending that nomination up to the Hill. Now it's Mitch McConnell's job to cobble together the 50 or 51 votes needed to confirm the judge.
Do you think it's going to happen?
My guess is that it's going to happen. I believe that Kavanaugh, from a conservative Republican perspective, is mainstream enough that Murkowski and Collins will vote with the Republicans. That's my guess at this point.
Thanks to Andrew Green for contributing to the program.
For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.